O God, you are our strength and our salvation. You uphold and save us. We offer you our very lives. Will you please stand and join me for the call to worship? Sing to God, for God has triumphed gloriously. God is our strength and our might. Long ago, God freed the slaves from Egypt, opening passage through the Red Sea waters. Here and now, God is our salvation, leading us through dangerous waters. Who is like our God, majestic in holiness and awesome in splendor? Every knee shall bow, every voice shall praise the God of wonder. Please join in the opening prayer. We sing to you, O God, for you have been our strength. You open the waters of suffering and lead us safely through. You uphold us in times of deep distress, and we exalt your holy name. Receive our honor and thanks, mighty God. Amen. Today's opening hymn is Come Ye Faithful, Raise the Strain. It can be found in the hardback hymnal on page 315 or on the screen.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Friends, you may be seated. Can we pray? Almighty God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks, and our hearts are filled with the ways that you continue to surround us with your grace and your love. Lord, we lift up those prayers in our hearts, those prayers that are for healing and health, for recovery and removal of illness. God, we know that we are spirits and bodies. We know that we are enmeshed within ourselves. Lord, we know that you made us from dirt and dust and breathed into us the breath of life. God, help us be healthy. Help us be whole. Help us live as you have created us to live. And Lord, in the event that we're at the end of our lives, give us comfort, give us peace, and lead us home. And Lord, comfort each and every one of us here in this room for those who we've lost. God, we give you thanks that no matter what we go through, you are with us. So Lord, continue to guide us and lead us, continue to shape us and mold us, that we might look more and more like your Son every day, that we might step into your light and your grace and be transformed. Lord, give us that same grace and that same love that helps us be who you have called us to be. And Lord, may we see the goodness and the joy that comes from being your people, that comes from being your ministers, your leaders, your priests. God, we give you thanks, and we ask that you continue to show us your way. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. So with the confidence of the children of God, I invite you to pray with us now the prayer that Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen. At this time, I think we should have the kids come up. What do you think?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are you guys?
Good.
Good. You're tired? Me too. Dude, me too. Alrighty. So I have a Bible verse to read, and we're going to pick it apart. Sound good?
Yeah.
Alrighty. So, the context for this is Jesus talking about several different laws, and we're going to focus on one of them. Alrighty? So this is Matthew 5, we're going to start at verse 38, and I'll tell you where we stop. Okay. Alrighty. So verse 38 says, You have heard that it is said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. Has anybody ever heard the term eye for an eye? I have. Adults, have you guys ever heard that? Alrighty. Maybe it's an older thing. Alrighty. So eye for an eye basically means that if someone hurts you, then you do it back to them. Alrighty. So this used to be a law way back when. Alrighty. So, verse 39 says, But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. So Jesus said that if someone hurts you on your right cheek, then you turn and you let them do the same thing to your left cheek. That sounds weird, doesn't it? Yeah. Should we keep reading? All right, we should keep reading. All righty. verse 40 says, "And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well." This is starting to sound kind of weird, isn't it? All right, we're going to keep going, guys. And verse 41 says, "If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles." Still weird, right? All right, it's not sounding very fun. All right, and verse 42 says, "Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." Alrighty, so in all of those verses, Jesus is saying that if someone hurts you, don't hurt them back, right? We can all agree on that, right? Alrighty. Now, I don't think Jesus would want you just to let someone hurt you. I'm gonna be very confident in saying that. So, if someone hurts you, you are allowed to tell them to stop, okay? You're allowed to get an adult to help you. You're allowed to leave the situation. But that does not give you the right to do it back to them, alrighty? So, when we're at school, and if someone says something mean about us, do we go and say something mean about them? No. Okay, good. Good answer. We do not do that. If someone hurts you, what do? You go tell a teacher. That's right. And then if you don't feel like you can go to a teacher, you go to your adults, right? And you can come to any adult in this room, and we'd help you out. Sound good? Alrighty, should we pray? Okay. Hey, God. Thank you so much for giving us people in our lives that are here to help us. And thank you for showing us how to treat others the way that we want to be treated. Amen.
It's a great reminder for all of us. Thank you, Addison. Today's scripture reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 25. "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' If you invoke as Father the one who judges impartially according to each person's work, live in fear during the time of your exile. You know that you are ransomed from the futile conduct inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him, you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your trust and hope are in God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual affection, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. That word is the good news that was announced to you." Today's special music is the chancel choir, "God Will Make a Way."
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. At this time, we have a moment of gratitude where we remember that God will provide and that God does care for each and every one of us, and not only each and every one of us, but perhaps even all of us together. We'll be passing the plates around. If you don't know what that means if you have any checks or loose money that you would like to offer up to the ministries of this church, then we would be grateful. For those of you who partner through EFT or online giving, we give you thanks as well, and we give thanks to God that the earth continues to spin and the lights are still on. But thank you. Through all things, thank you. And I hope you know that from the bottom of my heart, I'm grateful for the ways that you continue to bless our church and continue to partner in these ministries and continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. So, at this moment, we invite you to reflect on the ways that God has been faithful and will continue to do so. Almighty God, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the ways that you provide for us. Thank you for the way that you are making for each and every one of us, both in our lives individually and for us as a community. God, bless us, make us holy, and bless these offerings and these gifts that they may be holy, that they may bless not only our people here in our congregation, but that they may multiply and bless those in our community and in our world. God, bless them and bless us so that we might be a blessing to each other. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. So we invite you to stay standing as you are comfortable and join us in our next hymn, Freely, Freely, which can be found on page 389 in your thick blueback hymnals or up on the screens. Amen. You may be seated. Our gospel today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. This is the gospel, according to Mark. So they came to the other side of the sea, to the region of the Gerasenes. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. The man lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain, for he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And the man replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the region. Now, there on the hillside, a great herd of swine was feeding, and the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." And so Jesus gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, stampeded down the steep banks into the sea and were drowned. The swineherds ran off and told it in the city and in the country, and then people came to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the man possessed by demons sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion, and they became frightened. Those who had seen what had happened to the man possessed by demons and to the swine reported it, and then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with them. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And the man went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. The good news of Jesus Christ, and all the people said, Amen. Amen. So I know over these next few weeks, we are going to be looking at the things that we hold dearly in this church, our priorities, our missional aspirations, whatever you want to call them. And today, I want to talk about a concept that in the past we've called the priesthood of all believers, but now, or at least in our church, we call building and raising up leaders. Now, the priesthood of all believers is an old term. It comes from about the time of Martin Luther. And as much fun as it is to preach on the same passage in Scripture to support the claim that you are all priests and pastors and ministers, amen? I wanted to take this passage today, not because of necessarily the story at the beginning, but how the story unfolds and ends. Friends, can we pray? Gracious God, thank you. Thank you that you have called each and every one of us. Thank you that you have raised us up to be your church, your body. God, open our eyes and our ears, our minds and our hearts, that we might hear your words today. That, Lord, you might speak through each of us, and that we hear the words that you want us to hear. God, may your spirit move, and may we be formed more and more into the grace and the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know that old game at weddings? It's usually after the first dance has been done, and then a few more dances happen, and then they say, all right, all the married couples come out to the dance floor. You know this game, don't you? Yeah. The one where the last person or the last couple standing wins. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to do a version of that game today. You don't have to stand. You don't have to raise your hands. This is just for our own amusement. But I want to talk about phones. Can we do that? How many of you started, well, your first phone was a smartphone? Anyone? Anyone? I know, right? It's okay. Some raise your hands if you want. So those of you who your first phone was a smartphone, welcome. Congratulations. You are living in a beautiful, wonderful age. How many of you started with a dumb phone? Now, there are many different types of dumb phones, aren't there? How many of you started with a flip phone? Was that your first phone? How many of you started with a phone that didn't flip? See, this was my first one. It was one of those Nokia brick phones that you could drop off a 10-story building and run over with your car and submerge into a pool of water and it'd still work? Hallelujah. But how many of you started before cell phones? How many of you, your first phone was a corded phone, usually on the wall in your kitchen, and you'd have, and here's, young kids, I want you to know this. You know how you can just walk around with your phone everywhere? You couldn't do that with a corded phone. You had to get a longer cord. How many of you, though, were before the advent of being able to dial directly to someone? I think some of you know what I'm talking about. How many of you had something called a party line? Those of you who don't know what a party line is, ask someone who raised your hands. I promise you, when I learned what a party line was, it blew my mind. Now, I'm not going to ask the next question, but I think if we kept going further and further, the next question would be, how many of you grew up before phones? And the next question would be, how many of you grew up before Morse code? Or how many of you grew up before the printing press? Or how many of you grew up before written letters being sent to everyone? See, I think what we find is that over time, we have connected with each other in different ways, and then it's kind of fun to look back and say, how would life have been different? But what's fascinating to me is that we have connected in different ways, and this is an example of how we have grown up in the church as well. It was back in the 1700s. Wesley was actually born around 1700. I think it was 1701 or 2. Anyone who's much better than dates, please feel free to fact check me. But Wesley was born in the 1700s, and the mode of technology then was the printing press and the tracts and the little pamphlets that you could print off and send to each other. You would write letters if you wanted to stay in contact with people who were some distance away, which is strange to me now because my kids call their grandparents on video just about 3 to 4 times a week. But this shaped who we were as Methodists, and it shapes who we are as Christians because of the very simple fact that sometimes, oftentimes, we are not always in each other's presence. Now, that might seem like such a simple thing to say. That might seem like there's not a whole lot to that. That might seem like, well, duh, of course, right? I have to go home and eat, and then I have to go to work, and then I have to go to church, and then I have to go to school. Of course, I can't be in one person or a same group of people's presence all the time. And yet, for the church, what's interesting in our history is this. We haven't always had a pastor. We haven't always had a minister every week in the pulpit in Methodism. How many of you have experienced that before? The search for a pastor or not having a pastor in the pulpit? How is it? It's fun, isn't it? I know. And yet this is our history as Methodists. This is our history as our tradition spread westward across the United States, as it hopped across the pond, as it started to grow and grow, and more churches and communities and groups and societies were planted. That at the very beginning, there were not enough pastors for every little frontier town. There hardly were enough pastors for every large city at the beginning. And so what was fascinating is that we started to have elders ordained as circuit riders. Does anyone know what that term means, circuit riders? I know. We're getting really deep into the history. I promise. We're almost done. Circuit riders, though, they were tasked with riding from town to town to town in a circuit. There you go. Riding from town to town to town in a circuit, because it was the pastors who were charged with making sure that the churches were taking communion. That they were taking communion. And not only that, but that they were meeting and making sure that the church was running smoothly, and that if there was conflict, they could come and help smooth it over or help negotiate and reconcile people together. But it was communion. It was communion that our tradition first sent people in these circuits, because we thought that that was an important thing to do. You all know, probably, how often do we take communion? Once a month. Which Sunday? The first one, thanks be to God. Friends, this is from our circuit riders in many ways. Now, of course, they couldn't do the first Sunday in every church, but they could do it once a month, because that's what we had. And of course, our theology and our thoughts have grown up around that, but it's fascinating to me to think about the added effects to that reality. The preacher was there one Sunday a month. What about the other Sundays throughout the month? What about the other days throughout the week? Are you starting to see how different of a reality this would be than us living today? In many ways, Methodism was born as a lay-led movement. Let me say that in a different way. In many ways, Methodism was born from a tradition that says it is the people in the pews who are just as valuable as the one in the pulpit. Amen? Hallelujah? Kind of scary, isn't it? Little uncomfortable, huh? That you also are in fact blessed and called to be a priesthood of all believers. That you also are called to be people who minister and care for one another. That you also are called by God to do the work of the church. How many of you are uncomfortable? Oh man, you're great. You don't have to pretend for me. See, because what happens is, what we find is, that is an uncomfortable thing. That is kind of a scary thing when we realize that even though we have experts and professionals and people whose job it is to order the life of the church and make sure that everything is running smoothly, that when we look with fresh and clear eyes, we find that the church is the healthiest when all hands are on deck. The church is the healthiest when we are all walking forward together. Now, this idea, this priesthood of all believers, like I said, this comes a little bit from Martin Luther, definitely the Reformation back in the 1500s or so. It was the idea that we are called by God to be priests and pastors and ministers and clergy. It's this idea that we are, in fact, blessed and equipped and capable of doing the work that God has asked us to do. Which, again, doesn't mean that I'm out of a job. It doesn't mean that y'all have to come up here and preach every Sunday, although I'm any takers? Anyone? Anyone? What it means is that there are many things that we do as the church that we all can do. It means that you are not separated from God by an intermediary or a middleman or someone who you need to go to talk with God. Thanks be to God, right? It means that you have access to the Holy Spirit. It means that God walks among you and within you. It means that you have been blessed with the ability to preach the good news, to heal the sick, to proclaim that the kingdom of God is very near. Y'all uncomfortable yet? It also means that you can do the work of the church. Now, I know, because it's something I hear pretty often, and it usually comes up around the time when we're trying to find Sunday school teachers. How many of you have ever been asked to be a Sunday school teacher? You should all raise your hand, because I think we stand in the pulpit about once a year saying, if you'd like to be a Sunday school teacher. Right, Addison? Amen, hallelujah. You know what I hear the most often, though, when people say no? And it's okay, not everyone's called to be a Sunday school teacher, I understand that. But do you know what I hear the most often? I don't feel smart enough, or good enough, or holy enough to be a teacher. Now, you don't have to out yourselves, but how many of you feel like that? And yet, here, Addison's raising her hand in the back, right? I should raise my hand up front. And yet here, God is telling you, no, you are called. You are called to be teachers and leaders and mentors and guides and people who care for not only our children, but also each other. That it's not actually that scary of a thing, that at the very base of it, perhaps all it is can you love each other? Can you love our kids? Can you share the love of Christ? Because if you can do that, friends, man, that's like half the work right there. We have been called as a priesthood of all believers. We are not separated into castes or ranks or boxes, even though each of us has gifts and graces, each of us has responsibilities. God has said, you are worthy. You are called. You are capable. You have been gifted and graced with a specific thing that you can bless not only the church with, but your community with. You're enough. You are good. You are able. What's fascinating to me then, at the end of the gospel story in Mark, is this. Jesus heals the man, sends the demons and the evil and all of the things that are binding him and his life out of him, and he is free. And he's sitting there, clothed in his right mind, as a normal person would be. And everyone comes up and they're terrified. They don't know what just happened. They've seen a miracle. They've seen something that they can't quite explain. And of course, Jesus has to move on to the next town. Partly because they're a little anxious. They're a little worried. They don't understand, and they ask Jesus to leave. But partly also because Jesus just has to go and spread the good news. And what's fascinating to me is the man runs up and says, Jesus, take me with you. Take me with you. And what does Jesus say? Sorry, kid. It's better that you stay here. It's better that you stay here and you tell everyone what has happened. It's better that you stay and you proclaim the good news. It's better that you stay and tell your friends and your family and your neighbors what God is doing and has done and will do. See, there's other passages like this in Scripture. When Jesus sends the 12 and the 70 or 72, depending on how you count, he says the same thing. Go preach the good news. Release people from their evil. Heal the sick. Proclaim the day of the Lord is upon us. Jesus sends out his disciples, not only while he's alive, but even as he ascends into heaven. He says, go, make more disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach people my commands. Teach people how to love better. Throughout Scripture, we see that God raises people up. God helps people grow into who they've been called to be. God helps each person find that thing that they are good at so that they might bless each other with it. It's incredible when you think about it. It's incredible when you think about it that God has said, it is not only good that I am here to guide and teach and to help you all grow, but it is good and beautiful and holy and sacred that you help each other also. How many of you were young once? Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you remember that first day that you asked mom and dad if you could help load the dishwasher or wash dishes or take out the trash or help fix some part of the house? How many of you remember when your kids asked the first time to do that? See, I remember. My kids are that young. I remember those moments when my kids bound up and say, I want to help. I want to help. Now, how many of you know that I could do it much faster? How many of you know that there's very few people that load the dishwasher correctly? Amen? And yet, to see that energy, to see that excitement and that joy when I say yes, you can help. Friends, adults are not much different. Adults are the exact same. I think in many ways we all desire to help in some way as best as we're able. So as we go forward, as we remember what it means that God has called each of us, that we are not separated from God and from each other, but that we are all called, that the church is the healthiest when it's a lay-led movement, I invite you to continue to look at what our church is doing to help that. We have classes that some of our wonderful teachers teach, not only for our kids, but for our adults too. We've got classes that meet on Sunday mornings. We've, as Advent and Easter eventually, not yet, but as Advent and Lent come up, we'll have studies as well. The bishop is leading an online study for those of us who want to engage with the wider connection. Not only that, but we have a circuit of churches in our region that are meeting and finding ways to host trainings so that people can find where they fit, how they can be the light and the hands and the feet of Christ. Your circuit is finding ways to help lead trainings to help us grow deeper in our relationship with Christ. We're starting a new member class because honestly, that's a good thing to do. And not only that, but you have committees and you have leadership who don't just meet to get the work done, but have conversations on, boy, how do we help our church grow? How do we invite more people into the work that is being done? Friends, this church has placed an emphasis and importance on raising up people to leadership, to deepness of life, to matureness of faith. It's one of the things that we say, love, serve, and grow. So friends, may it be so. May you grow in your faith. May you find what is good and beautiful. May you find what God has called you to. And maybe you already have found what God has called you to. Then the next step is to help others find what God has called them to as well. Friends, may you be blessed. May you know that God loves you. And may you know that God walks with us as we grow into who we've been called to be. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me once more? Gracious God, you have called us to grow. You have said it is good that we might transform into who we've been called to be. That it is good to mature in our faith. That it is good to grow deeper in our relationship with you. So God, help us. Help us find those places that we might shine our light and your light through us. Help us find those places that we can sit and grow. Help us find those places that we can help each other see where we are called to be. God, we give you thanks that you have invited us into your church, into your work, into your mission. We give you thanks that you have said it is good that we are co-workers with one another, with you. So Lord, help us find the ways. Help us find the ways to bless each other, that we might look more and more like you every day, that our love might echo your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. So friends, we invite you, as you're comfortable, to stand with us and join in our final hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, found on your screens or on 127 in your thick blue back hymnal. May the Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God lift up God's face and smile upon you. May you go with the grace and love of Christ and know that God goes with you. Friends, may you grow in your faith. May you find the goodness and the joy that it is to be more mature every day, more visible and more loving. Friends, may the love of Christ ever be in your hearts. May you go with God, and may God go with you, now until the end of all things. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Friends, go and rest. Enjoy your Sabbath. Today, our service is ended.